Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Permaculture City Regenerative Design for Urban, Suburban, and Town Resilience is a nonfiction guide by Toby Hemenway that adapts permaculture thinking to built environments. Rather than limiting permaculture to rural homesteads or backyard gardens, the book argues that cities, suburbs, and towns can also be designed as living systems that support food production, water management, energy resilience, local livelihoods, and stronger communities. Hemenway treats permaculture as applied ecology and extends its principles from plants and soils to people, neighborhoods, institutions, and culture. The result is both a design manual and a civic framework for readers who want practical ways to make urban life more resilient and ecologically coherent. It is especially relevant to gardeners, planners, designers, and citizens looking for grounded strategies rather than abstract sustainability slogans. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, permaculture is expanded from gardening into a whole city design method. A central contribution of the book is its insistence that permaculture is not just about cultivating plants, but about shaping relationships within entire human settlements. Hemenway presents urban, suburban, and town environments as interconnected systems where food, shelter, water, energy, economics, and community are all part of the design problem. This matters because it moves permaculture beyond the familiar image of a productive backyard and into questions of neighborhood organization, public infrastructure, and civic decision-making. The book therefore reframes the city itself as an ecosystem that can be observed, redesigned, and improved through ecological principles. Readers are encouraged to think in terms of patterns, connections, and feedback loops rather than isolated fixes. That broader scope makes the book distinctive. It does not simply import rural techniques into the city, but adapts the underlying logic of permaculture to the realities of dense, built, and socially complex places. Secondly, urban food systems are treated as part of resilience, not just self-sufficiency. The book gives practical attention to food production, but it does so in a way that connects gardening to larger urban resilience. Hemenway shows that food growing in cities is valuable not only because it provides fresh produce, but because it builds local capacity, strengthens neighborhood ties, and encourages more intelligent use of land. He extends this thinking to community gardening and to the design of urban home gardens, suggesting that food landscapes can become social infrastructure as well as ecological infrastructure. The deeper point is that resilient food systems depend on diversity, connection, and place-specific design rather than on a single ideal model. By placing food inside a wider system of livelihoods, water, and community, the book avoids the trap of treating urban agriculture as a symbolic hobby. Instead, it presents food as one entry point into a more durable urban culture, where production, sharing, and stewardship are linked. Thirdly, water, energy, and shelter are approached as integrated urban systems. Another important theme is the treatment of basic urban needs as design challenges that should be handled together rather than separately. The book discusses water and energy systems in the context of resilience, which means it asks how towns and cities can reduce vulnerability while using resources more intelligently. Hemenway applies permaculture's emphasis on interdependence to infrastructure, showing that resource systems are not neutral technical backdrops, but part of the living pattern of a place. This perspective helps readers see why a garden, a street, a neighborhood, and a utility network should not be imagined in isolation. The book also connects shelter to this broader framework, implying that housing is not just about individual buildings, but about how built form supports ecology, comfort, and community interaction. By bringing these elements together, the book encourages readers to look for synergies capturing water where it is useful, using energy more wisely, and designing built spaces that reinforce resilience instead of dependence. Fourthly, community, placemaking, and local livelihood are as important as ecology. The book is notable for treating social life as a core part of permaculture design. Hemenway repeatedly emphasizes that urban resilience depends on empowered communities, meaningful local livelihoods, and places that support cooperation. This is a broader and more ambitious view than simply making cities greener. It suggests that ecological design must also improve how people live together, exchange skills, make decisions, and create a sense of belonging. The distinction between a job and a livelihood is especially important because it points to a difference between wage labor and forms of work that are embedded in local culture. And mutual support. Likewise, placemaking is not presented as decoration. It is a way of shaping public and shared spaces so that they invite participation, trust, and informal exchange. In this sense, the book links environmental resilience with social resilience, arguing that sustainable systems are stronger when they also support community identity and local self-reliance. Lastly, the book offers practical urban design without losing systems-level thinking. One of the book's strengths is that it combines concrete advice with a broad conceptual framework. It is not an abstract theory of sustainability, Nor is it merely a collection of gardening tips. Hemingway writes in a way that helps readers move between small-scale applications and larger patterns, which makes the book useful for both beginners and experienced permaculture readers. The guidance on urban home gardens, community gardening, and resource systems is grounded in a larger argument about resilience and adaptation. At the same time, the book is open-ended rather than prescriptive, reflecting the idea that each city or town must be read in context. This balance makes it stand out in the permaculture field. Many books focus narrowly on design techniques for land stewardship, while this one shows how the same ecological intelligence can be applied to neighborhoods, institutions, and civic life. Its value lies in translating permaculture into a language that urban residents can actually use. In conclusion, The Permaculture City should be read by urban gardeners, permaculture students, sustainability advocates, planners, architects, green builders, and community organizers who want a serious framework for living more resiliently in built environments. Its practical benefit is that it turns permaculture from a specialized gardening approach into a method for thinking about food, water, energy, shelter, and local economies together. Its intellectual value is equally strong. It shows how ecological design can extend into social organization, public space, and civic culture without becoming vague or idealistic. Compared with many books in the sustainability genre, it stands out for its scope and clarity. It does not treat the city as a problem to escape from, but as a place where regenerative design can be applied in concrete ways. That makes it especially useful for readers who want principles they can adapt, not just inspiring ideas. The book is also distinctive for its balance of systems thinking and accessibility, which helps bridge the gap between ecological theory and everyday urban practice. If you would like to support Toby Hemingway, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.